Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, welcome to another week of Tech Talk. It's Stephen Scott here with you this week, and welcome to Robin Christofferson, who's back with us this week from AbilityNet. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Stephen.
You've got to sing it. You've got to sing it. It's the way. Emails Andy's here as well. Hi, Emails Andy.
Hello. Oof,
you're very excitable today, clearly. Oof, you've been singing.
Nice.
Baritone. La, la, la. Baritone. Baritone.
Baritone.
There we go.
I won't ask what I am.
moving on. And we've also got Sean Priest back with us this week. Hello, Sean Priest.
I'm sorry, have I joined The Voice all of a sudden? What's going on? Are you lot okay?
Welcome to the Tech Talk Choral Society. Every week we get together and sing the tech news.
Apple, Sean's our tenor.
An event! Yeah, all that. Yes, actually, that is something to sing about. Look, before we get into that, got to say hi to Tim this week, who's still sadly not feeling great, but he will be back with us next week, I promise you. And that means you don't have to listen to Sean Priest again. So it's not all bad, you know, every, you know, yin yang and all that. Anyway.
Get well soon, Tim. Thank you.
Yes, get well soon, Tim. Okay, so let's get into the big stories of the week. We've got news. Should we start with the news? Is that the button for the news? I can never remember. Is this one?
News from the internet.
I can never remember if that's the button or it's the one next to it. It's always a lucky guess in here.
Press the other one. Press the other one.
What's the other one do? The other one does this. Oh, that's the ending.
Oh, no.
Oh, we don't want that. We're not finished yet. Bye. Thanks for listening. Well, what does that button do?
Alexa, open Puzzler.
Oh, that's coming up later.
Oh, well, there's a tease.
There you go.
Sorry for everyone's smart speakers that just went off.
Yeah. I'm just going to randomly press buttons, I've decided. Actually, do you know, will we get to that this week? I hope we get to that this week. Actually, I forgot all about that. Yeah, we're going to do that this week. So I'm so prepared that I've forgotten that we've prepared stuff. That's how prepared I am.
We get to the news. It's amazing news.
Oh, yes.
Do you know, this show is harder to get off the ground than any project ever done by Elon Musk, and equally as successful, I might add. Okay, so let's talk about the news. Apple have an event! Yeah, are we excited about this?
Okay.
Not for a while, though.
It is a bit... Oh, it's far away, isn't it? It's like June 7th to 11th. Basically, it's WWDC. I know. I think... I have a feeling. I got a feeling... that an event will be coming soon. I do. I feel there's an iMac coming. There's lots of rumours kicking around about a new iMac, and they might do it at WWDC. I feel that's a bit far off. But
it's weird to announce one event before another one, though, if there is going to be one before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got to announce one event before you can announce the next one. Otherwise, no events would ever be announced, Robin.
Thanks for that.
This show's quite meta today.
Oh, wow. It is, yeah. That's one word for it.
No, look, the Worldwide Developer Conference, right? So this is just for software. Usually,
boring.
Anyway, so we're going to see iOS 15. We're going to see whatever the next Mac OS is and whatever else they throw at us. It's not usually hardware. And if it is, it's going to be the smaller hardware. So like the HomePod was announced.
Like AirTags.
AirTags maybe. But the interesting thing about this one is the invitations.
Ooh. Oh, everyone gets so excited about these invitations because there's the emojis have got glasses on.
No, it's not.
There's
just
quite
glasses.
A few variations of this invitation, and they all, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, feature a laptop opened up with somebody. Every single person's wearing glasses.
Not people, emojis,
bitmojis, or
emojis are people too.
Memojis,
and they've all got. Sort of surprised, shocked looks on their faces, but
how much?
Reflected in their glasses is the screen of their opening the Mac.
That's the thing, right?
And that's reflected. Everyone's going, oh, yeah, look, it's things you can see on the. It's clearly some kind of AR technology.
It's the icons from the screen are reflected in their glasses.
Ah, a lot of rubbish. It's just they're just wearing glasses. They're just being inclusive.
No. Look,
if wearing glasses.
If this is a developer conference, so if developers are going to get to grips with a new platform here, as in Apple Glass, then this is where they would have to announce it, really.
Excuse me, that sounds like a perfect sense to me, and I don't ever want to hear that on this show again.
I'm very sorry, I'll leave now.
He's not coming back.
No, your sense on this program?
It's either that or they're saying that these are loads of different developers and all developers are nerds wearing glasses, and that's not a good look. So I'm going for the glass.
Apple true. Glass. And you should wear glasses because it's important you look after your eyes. That is what Apple's saying here. This has got nothing to do with Apple Glass.
Well done, Stephen.
There you go.
It's a public service announcement.
It's a public service announcement from Apple. Buy lots of expensive computers and watch your eyes. Well, don't watch your eyes because that's not physically possible, is it? Anyway, the other big news of the week, which I've got to say is even Trump's Apple's announcement, because to be honest, it's not much of an announcement. It's just an event that we knew was going to happen anyway, being confirmed. And look, on that point, just one final thing I'll say on it. I think that this year, a bit like last year, everything's all out of kilter. You know, I don't think the production schedules
are on
track.
Is that a Scottish thing?
Must be, yes.
Wearing kilts.
That's right, yeah. I'm dancing around with my kilter on again. Oof. But I think that that's the problem. I think that there's not really a clear production schedule of anything at the moment. So where perhaps they may have had a spring event to launch some new hardware, I don't think they've maybe... They're not ready for that yet. They will be probably in summer. So maybe everything will be released then. Maybe WWDC will be amazing. Key thing, though, is it will be virtual again, not a live event. Well, live as in, you know, happening at a certain point. And obviously the developer conference will be happening, but it will all be virtual. So,
well done.
Yes.
Pre-recorded.
Did I clarify that one for you? Excellent.
Yes, it was perfect.
I think they had some air tags to announce, but they've lost them. They can't find them.
Typical, isn't it? Do you hear that? Do you hear that woman in England that swallowed an AirPod?
Oh.
Did she then swallow some AirPod Maxes? And then some speakers, a HomePod.
Is that okay. There?
I'm just leaving that there. This is what passes for entertainment. Welcome to Tech Talk. More importantly than all of that, big story from last week, and that was Sky, who just literally dropped the mic. Kaboom! On a new feature, which is one of those things that when it came out, we were just like, hang on a minute, whoa, hang on, is this what I think it is? Voice guidance on the Sky Q set-top boxes. So if you've got Sky Q, over the course of this month, an update will come to your device, your box, and any Sky Q mini boxes as well, that will include voice guidance. I mean, this is huge.
This is massive. Sky is now accessible.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Now, Robin has been taking the mick out of me on this one, saying, you said on Twitter it's the biggest tech news story of 2021. Yes, it is, Robin. This is huge. I know you
that
sit
was
there
spooky.
Listening to
you
Radio
had my
4
voice
on repeat,
there.
But, you know, the rest of us live in the real world.
Yes, TV is a thing, I know.
It is, yes, it's going to be the next big thing, I promise you. It's definitely up and coming.
No, Apple TV is going away from the visuals. I think that's old.
It's not
old
the
news.
Visuals, no.
They're going to that calls series.
Yes,
that's not a definition
visuals
of anything.
Visuals are so 2020. 2020.
We can now access what is it? The EPG. We know what's coming on. We can do the menus. Is that right?
It is. Well, look. Let me not sit here and try and tell you all about it. Let's actually hear it in action because that's what we all want, really, isn't it? One of our listeners, Kieran, got in touch with me on Twitter to say he had the feature. I got in touch with him to say, look, would you mind recording as a little feature? Let us all hear what this actually sounds like. And he sent us this.
Hello. So Sky Q now has a killer feature, which is will become apparent when I switch my box on. So let's do that now.
Menu. Press up or down for different categories. Home. 1 of 14. Press right or select to choose.
People think they're really easy to look after, don't they? But they need
yeah, that's right. It now talks.
Yeah, rabbits.
TV guide. To
so complex
recordings
as well as you know
catch up TV 4 of
a little bit choppy here because it's running on the mini box and the mini box isn't as powerful as the main box but Yeah, it works on the mini boxes as well as the main box.
Pairs as a minimum, they need loads of...
On demand.
...actually run up to 5 miles a day.
Recordings.
Pages.
TV guide.
You have to mute them.
TV guide. Press up or down for different genres. Press left to go back. All channels.
By 140%.
All channels. Press up, down, left or right to navigate through the TV guide. BBC One NENC. 101. Select to view in full screen.
About at the top of the show, and this is...
BBC Two HD.
For dog...
ITV HD.
As they go around...
Channel 4.
Out and about...
Channel 5 HD. 105.
And then if you want to see the channels, as it says...
TV. Press right for
press
upcoming
right.
Programs.
100 adabytes.
Jeremy Vine. Started at 9:15 a.m. Duration, 2 hours. Video format HD. Jeremy Vine discusses and dissects the latest news, views and opinions, with co-host Storm Huntley helping on the live phone-ins. Select to view in Mini TV. Press R to record series. Press R again to record once.
So you see you get a lot of info.
Face or down on the legs.
If we go to my recordings.
Touch the wound. So don't try...
Recordings. Press up or down for different categories. Press left to go back. Most recent.
And down to us.
Most recent. Grid of items. Press up, down, left or right to navigate. Hypothetical. 15 episodes.
The systemic.
The terror. 9 episodes. Select a...
If you're suspicious, just...
New, Britain's Tiger Kings. Duration, 1 hour and 3 minutes. Video format HD, subtitles, audio description, series link set, On the Trail with Ross Kemp. Ross Kemp seeks Britain's Tiger and Lion Kings, he meets a man with lions in his back garden and a couple with a zoo made from scrap. S1 EP1. Column 3 of 4, row 1, select to choose.
So, do a bit of spring clean.
Like with the TV guide, you get a lot of info there.
Sparkling.
One product some swear by is a can of fizzy co-
New, Britain's Tiger...
If we go into that.
Press left for menu, right for options, down for categories. Play Series 1, Episode 1.
Budge.
Delete.
Tick. Rusted up, the I...
Three of...
Evolution. Could...
Delete.
DB in...
Play Series 1. Recordings, 1 of 3. Press down for content. Press left or right for more options.
Refreshment.
Watch now. 2 of 3.
Online that it'll...
On this week. 3 of 3.
So we get all them options, all those options.
You have been testing your cola tips.
If we go back to live TV.
Kettle, scrub away rust, or even clean the toilet. But are these tips merely old wives'
tales? And we go to another channel.
Or do they scientifically stack up? Time to put...
ITV HD. 103. Lorraine. Select to view the mini TV guide.
You know, it's so good to see you. It really is. I'm loving
so
today.
So we can do that.
I love books.
And you can go up and down the channels.
Authors. It's been fun.
Hold the BBC Two HD. 102.
Saturday and into Sunday, although by that stage we're starting to bring in a weather.
And if we want to know what's currently on, the info reads. Normally the info reads.
Hi, this is BBC News. I'm Victoria Derbyshire. Here are the headlines. Boris Johnson's senior advisor on ethnic minorities
is leaving his role. Normally that works.
Earlier this year, complaining of unbearable tension within Downing Street.
Mini TV guide. Press up or down.
The helpline has just gone live, offering advice and support.
Mini TV guide. Press up or down for channels. Press left for menu. Press right for programs. BBC Two HD. Once
and few follow.
ITV HD. 103. Lorraine. Started at 9 a.m.
There are a couple of things at the minute that don't work, but I mean, the one major one is you can't see your schedule in the planner. So if I go back to the planner.
Press R again to record.
Refinance.
Recordings. Press up or down for different
financial backer.
Sort by.
My steel business.
Scheduled.
You get as many
scheduled voice guidance not available.
So that doesn't work, but you can get to that in this Skygo app. So it's not major, but it's something to be aware of. None of the apps work yet. So Netflix, Amazon, things like that, they don't work yet. And there are some settings categories that don't work. If you want to turn it on yourself, you can either go into the settings. I'll show you where that is now.
Yes, good morning, Victoria. Thank you very much.
Main menu. Press up or down for
all attention to
music.
I mean, just
apps.
Busy night of World Cup.
Help.
When three of the home
my account
were involved. Now,
settings. 12 of 14. Press right or select
of the competition
status.
But the frustration goes
system info.
Island.
Parental.
Up all the action.
Accessibility.
Walking out to
accessibility. Press up or down for categories. Audio description. If set to on.
Those this summer when
beep on audio
could be allowed back.
Subtitles.
This one was all about bit.
Highlight program.
Sterling brought down in the box.
High contrast.
And for Harry Kane.
Voice guidance. Supported content on screen will be described audibly. Select with hints to hear extra details. Recommended for new users. Warning, turning this on will turn off Dolby Digital 5.1 audio. 6 of 6. Press right to manage set.
Back to Harry Maguire.
On with hints. Press up.
Hammering his side to
on without hints. Press up or down for options.
So on without hints, like it suggests, will stop us getting the press right, press OK, that those type of things.
In the winning goal and
off. Press up or down for options. 3 of 3, select to choose.
It's a big 3 points.
So that's where you can turn it on, or you can use the voice control on your Sky Q box. So if you're not sure where the voice control button is, it is between the volume up and channel up buttons on the Sky Q remote that I have. For other, I think for older ones, it's on the side. But I haven't actually seen one of those. So you can just hold it down and say, you know, turn on voice guidance or turn off voice guidance. So if I do that now, turn off voice guidance. And now you'll be here if I'm clicking buttons. Nothing's reading. So that means voice guidance is off. So if we turn it back on,
BBC News.
Turn on
now, the
voice
big
guidance.
Shock of the night came in Germany as the four-time world champions suffered a humiliating.
You don't get any feedback, but if you now press menu.
By North Macedonia, a team ranked 50.
Main menu.
It's back on there.
Moment. TV guide.
Yes, he's only
recording.
He'll never forget.
Catch up TV.
So yeah, that's a quick, Germany quick, dirty review of the Sky Q voice guidance. Thank you.
Thanks to Kieran for sharing his thoughts there and also letting us hear how the new Sky Q system works with voice guidance. You know, guys, it is great that it's there. And even though it's in its infancy, you know, what I like about it is the things that don't work, they tell you they don't work. I know that sounds a bit bizarre, but, you know, when you go to an area and it says this isn't available or voice guidance isn't supported here, I kind of like that rather than just leaving you hanging. Not entirely keen on the fact that when you turn voice guidance on, it doesn't announce anything. I kind of wish it would say something to you. It just kind of leaves you hanging there, and then you've got to start moving around with the arrows to actually figure out if anything works. But it is definitely, it is, you know, look, put it this way. Considering we didn't have this at all, considering my Skybox wasn't accessible to me at all until now, although it isn't yet, actually, because I haven't got the update. Not yet, anyway. But I will get it. We'll all get it by the end of April, which is good. So, yeah, I'm excited about this. Are we all going to be getting Sky Q now? Well, I know Robin won't.
Your explanation, I was thinking it's like this show, you know, it's good to have, but room for improvement.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Goodbye, Robin.
It was lovely working with you, Robin. I didn't realise this was your last show.
This is a difficult one, though, isn't it? Because you want to say, well done, Sky. You know, you put the effort in, well done. But then the other half of me wants to say, where have you been for the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's great that they're doing it, but is it too late? I mean, it's never too late, right? But I don't know. Yes, thank you, Sky, but yeah, we've waited a long time for this.
Well, yeah, I don't think we should be saying thank you to Sky. I think this is good that it's there. I'm happy about it, of course. But yeah, it's one of those things. I put this up on Twitter. I mean, I did. I got a lot of people coming back and saying very similar to what you're saying, Sean. People saying, you know, this is all great, but how long has this been?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I'm glad it's here though. I am glad it's here. I'd rather it was here than it wasn't, put it that way. Right, look, some other things to pick up on. If you are a Twitter user and you use it on the iPhone or the iPad And you use large text, if you enable large text, or dynamic large text, isn't it, they call it, on under accessibility. If you now enable that on the Twitter app, it is now respected on the Twitter app on the iPhone and iPad, which is amazing. First time I think that's ever happened. That must have just happened from today, because it's never happened before. So that is good news. If you use large print, you're probably going to find that app a lot easier to use, because up until now, it's always been quite difficult to read the size that it comes in at. Also, just a quick word to mention on Site Village. Site Village is back this month, and Lottie Reed is from Queen Alexandra College in Birmingham, the organisers of Site Village. She's been talking to us to tell us about this year's virtual events.
Our virtual events will never replace our in-person events, just because there is that hands-on, face-to-face communication with exhibitors. And you can't get that with a virtual event, but you can still get the information. You can still find out about the latest technology and products. Exhibitors do virtual presentations, so they talk through what their products are, how they work. And there's also a virtual Q&A as well, so people can still ask those questions and send them to us in advance or on the day. The event takes place on YouTube, so there is a chat facility on there as well. So you don't have to have a YouTube account to access. All we ask is that if you go to our website, which is qacsitevillage.org.uk. From there, you can find out what demonstrations are taking place and you can pre-register. And then once you've pre-registered, we'll send you further information and a link to access the event. It's simply just clicking a link and it'll take you straight to the virtual event. So the event will be taking place on the 20th, 21st and 22nd of April. You can pre-register via our website, which is www.qacsitevillage.org.uk. And then you'll need to access the exhibitions tab at the top of the page. From there, you can pre-register and we'll send you further information about the event. Or you can email us sv@qac.ac.uk, or you can give us a call on 0121 803 5484.
Thank you, Lottie. Looking forward to Site Village, as always. Now, earlier I played a little clip of something where your Amazon A-lady may have pricked up her ears because she heard her name be shouted. The reason we were going to play that, actually, was because we got a call into the R&IB helpline just a week or so ago, asking about how to play crosswords when you're blind. And Robin has something which might be able to help, courtesy of the Amazon Echo. If you do have an A-lady, you might want to mute her now.
Alexa, open Puzzler.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Puzzler.
Since you're a frequent player, we'd like to send you reminders about Puzzler. Check the activity section in the Alexa app to confirm them.
Would you like to play your daily crossword or hear the high scores?
Daily crossword.
Okay, here is the quick crossword of the day.
It's a least 5x5.
Least powerful chessman. It has 4 letters.
Least powerful. Alexa? Pawn. It's a 5x5 grid,
incredible.
Guys.
Incredible.
Lay a footpath. First letter, P. 4 letters.
Alexa, pave.
Marvellous.
Style, fashion. First letter, V. There's 5 letters.
Alexa, Vogue.
You're 50% complete. Ooh. On to the next one.
Bet, stake. W, blank, G, blank, blank. 5-letter word.
Alexa, wager.
Right answer.
Blank and proper, stiffly formal. Blank,
right
R,
and proper.
Blank, blank. 4 blank letters.
R. Prim. Alexa, prim.
Superb.
Group of sports players. Blank, E. Blank, M.
We know what that is.
It has 4 letters.
Alexa, team.
Well done, that was lightning fast.
You did it in 1 minute, 25 seconds. You've just beaten your personal record for daily crosswords by 18 seconds.
Main menu. Would you like to hear the high scores, open shop, or exit game?
Exit game.
Thanks for playing.
So you get the idea, Robins and all. But yeah, Puzzler is the Amazon Echo skill, which is available for your Amazon Echo. Is it free to play, Robin?
You get as many 5x5s as you like, but you have to pay for 9x9s, which are much more challenging. It's not expensive, though. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend that. An almost infinite supply of really good crosswords.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Do you play crosswords, Sean?
No, I don't play them. I do them, Stephen. But, you know, yeah, look, I've subscribed to this one. It's great. And you can answer it if you're not sure if it'll understand a word, you can actually spell it letter by letter as well. And I know Robin's had a little bit of something of recommending improvements to it to the developers. So well done, Robin. Thank you.
Yeah, it speaks really well.
Yeah, he's not one to complain, is he? Well, look, thank you, Robin. That is good to know. And yeah, there are other ways to play, or sorry, do crosswords. Do check out RNIB's website for all the details on that. And don't forget to head to the shop as well for a range of magnification aids, rnib.org.uk/shop, or call the helpline. Hey, you can even say Lady A. You can even tell her now to call the RNIB helpline. I'll say it now, okay? Alexa, call the RNIB helpline. Mine's was plugged in, it would respond. Look, let's talk Android. Yeah. Let's talk Android. Google Lookout is a fantastic app that is available now. And Devinder Kula is here from the Technology for Life team to tell us more about it.
Hi, everyone. Devinder here from the RNIB Technology for Life team. Hope you're well. Today I wanted to cover a topic of a free application called Google Lookout. What is it? So Google Lookout is an AI, an artificial intelligence, that gives us access to scanning printed material to recognize text, but also has some quite innovative features of being able to explore our environment.
Lookout quick read mode. Signed.
Okay. So what it does is it will automatically focus to the top of the screen. And just to give you an idea, there's a button which is in the top right corner, which will say start or stop. Now, throughout this demonstration, I will be flicking with gestures, which will be one finger to the right for moving forward and one finger to the left for backwards. So when you hear me going through different options, that's what I'll be doing. Okay, so let's go through them.
Stop button. Start button.
Okay, so that was the button that I mentioned at the top right. I've just done a double tap to select it, so it says stop. Or it says start. I'm just going to flick to the right.
Recent button.
Those will be recent announcements that I may have scanned.
Food label beta mode.
Okay, so food labeling. And we'll come onto that when we go into my kitchen.
Selected quick read mode.
Now, quick read, that's when we put the camera in front of some text and the AI, the artificial intelligence, will, in live mode, without no other requirements, will just start trying to recognize text. Moving to the next one.
Scan document mode.
Scan document is when you put a document in front of the camera, it takes a picture, and then you can take the document away, and then you've got a copy or version of it there.
Currency US dollars mode.
And that's currency for US dollars, which, being that I'm in the UK, not really applicable. So I'll skip that one for now. Right. Now, that sound you heard, that's telling me I'm at the bottom of the screen. So I'm going to go to start.
Start button.
Okay. Now, the moment I double tap, the AI will start to recognize text. So do a double tap.
Stop button.
Great. Now, what I'm doing is I've got the phone about the height of my nose, and I'm just getting my document. I'm just going to pop it in front.
Allows your other materials at the dinner wherever you are. At home, Traveler HD is your ideal lightweight. Slide and read. CCI, Ecanus, Cably Red Letters, Newspapers and Bed, or in your favorite chair. No previous recents. Stop, but start button.
Right. So, although it wasn't perfect, I understood exactly what the document was. It was describing a low vision tool. And I thought, great, yep, so I know what that document is. So, again, if you want to get another scan of it, just move it out of the frame of the camera, pop it back in, and it will automatically rescan it. So, a really powerful mode, that is. So, in terms of moving forward on from there, where I think it gets really interesting is it starts to be able to describe our environment. So why don't we go and check that out?
Recent button, explore beta mode.
Now, it said explore beta mode. What that really means is beta means it's a bit experimental. They're trying it out. It's not going to be perfect. And what I would say to everybody is bear that in mind when you're using it, because although it can be quite fun and quite helpful, please don't rely on it for accuracy. So this is a really good feature that what I'll do is I'll double tap it and then it should start to wander around this room. So double tap this option.
Start button selected.
Okay, so we're back at the top and I'm going to double tap start. So as soon as I say start, it's going to start describing.
Stop button, chair, table, bag.
And that's actually correct. I'm pointing that at a dining table.
Table with text. Demonstrate and PR foam automation. Start button.
I paused it there. So that was me pointing it at a table. Although it didn't really make much sense, it's as it's recognizing objects, it's actually also trying to recognize text. So let's take that little step further. Let's go into the kitchen. Now, also what I'll mention to everybody is the lighting in the room is well illuminated. And although my phone does have a flashlight, bear in mind that lighting will make a difference as well. And distance from if there's text will also affect accuracy. But what we're trying to hear is, will it actually detect things as well? So if I'm just going to go through my kitchen door in a moment, so I'm going to double tap start.
Stop button.
Let's explore.
Text, Bosch, sync with text, AEC okay, which, yeah. Bosch, sync, dairy.
Okay, we're going over for that.
Furniture,
sink?
Shoe.
Definitely not a shoe on my worktop, that's interesting.
Toaster.
Yep.
Wine bottle, fruit, okay. Food, tableware, tableware, wardrobe.
It's actually a door, that's interesting, because I don't expect there to be a wardrobe in my kitchen. Let's go over to the fridge.
Furniture with text, Puck, PA Punk, P Samsung things we love, okay, and so... look after, text, Punk, IPA,
okay.
Text, OREWDOG, text, Brewdog, text, no frost.
Right, let's keep moving on. Now let's go to the microwave. And it hasn't quite picked that one up.
Text, Panas, microwave oven.
Ah, there you go. Okay, we got it.
Start button.
So that was quite interesting. So as you can tell, it made a few mistakes, but when I started to give it a little bit of time, take my time with it, did pick up some of the key things in the kitchen. How about objects and products? So let's go into one of the drawers, grab out a little tin here. Close that drawer so I don't headbutt it. Right, let's start the scanning.
Stop button.
It's going to put
tin can. Tin can with text.
Right.
Multipack E450. So, start button.
As you could hear, because I was still in the exploring mode, it definitely picked up tin can. Now let's hear the difference between that and the products mode.
Recent button.
So flicking to the right.
Selected explore beta mode.
And one more.
Food label beta mode.
Right, food label. Let's double tap.
Start button. Selected lookout food label mode.
Great. So what that did, as soon as I double tapped, my focus of TalkBack went back to the start button, but also it reminded us which mode it was in. So that's why you repeated the food label. Okay, so let's double tap.
Stop button.
Putting the can in front of the camera.
Product not recognized. Try rotating it to other sides.
Rotating.
Product not recognized. Try rotating it to other sides.
Still rotating it slowly.
Product not. Heinz no added sugar beans.
And that is exactly what it is. Beautiful.
Start button.
So that's actually done an incredible job of recognizing the label. So I hope as an introduction and a demonstration, what that does is gives you an idea that Android is certainly picking up its game with artificial intelligence, and also that the artificial intelligence itself is coming a long way. Google's putting in some great work in that respect. So for a free application, I highly recommend try Google Lookout, explore your environment. But in terms of getting information to canned goods and things in the kitchen, but really importantly, even reading your letters and documents, it's a great option. So have fun. Hope you've enjoyed. Take care until next time.
Well, thank you, Devinda. It's good to know that you thought that was good. You've tried it, Sean. Do you agree with Devinda there? It's a worthy app.
I've got to say, it's come on so much since I last tried it. It was interesting and a little bit basic last time I tried it, but they've really, you know, the OCR options and things like that. So, yeah, I look, it's free. Try it. It may work for you. Simple as that. It's free. I'm going to try it.
I just love how that was the last thing you got. It's like, you know, I mean, it's a really noble app and they've worked a lot of time, you know, and it's free. It's just free. Download it. What's your problem?
What have you got to lose?
Yeah. What are you looking at me for? Yeah, exactly. Okay, right, let's get to the emails.
Email. We get email.
Emails.
We get your email every day.
Bing bong.
Here's your mail today.
I love that the fact that we do this on Zoom means that when everyone goes bing bong, it's always us. It's hilarious.
Bing bong.
Right, Andy, let's get into the inbox then. What's happening? What's occurring?
What's occurring? Dear
Steve, is that Welsh?
No. That is. Well, kind of.
Well, yeah. By the way I did it wasn't, but moving on.
Dear Steve and the gang, I wanted to stand up for the NaviLens app as I thought you were a little dismissive of it in a previous episode.
Me?
There are, yes, us as a whole.
Oh, that's fine. Not me then, right.
There are a lot of reasons why this app is great. Firstly, NaviLens the tags are superior to QR codes because, as one of you pointed out, the app does not need to access the internet. We have a young sighted child and bought a game with QR codes on the playing cards, hoping that it would be an accessibility solution for me, but they were slow to be read and we had to give up. Secondly, QR codes often require you to line them up with your camera with some accuracy, but the Navi tags do not, making them much more blind-friendly. Thirdly, QR codes cannot give you a location information. The tags tell you how far away you are, and so can be used to help you find places. And while they do a similar job as the PenFriends, they are considerably cheaper. The PenFriend costs £70 from the RNIB shop, and each pack of cards costs an extra £13, excluding VAT. We have gone through three packs trying to label sighted books to read to our child and board games and puzzle boxes. The NaviLens app and tags are free. Plus, your phone is always in your pocket, whereas I never seem to know where our pen friend has gone. I also agree with the previous emailer that having easily accessible information about packets and cooking instructions would be excellent. I have often found myself in a supermarket with my child, not wanting to wait for an assistant, trying to guess at what's on a cereal packet. The Seeing AI app is terrible at reading the text in children's books, packets and boxes, so this would be a better solution. The developers have recently improved the method for labelling a tag, so now you just have to flick up with a blank tag to get to the right screen. Also, you are able to share a tag with another phone if there is more than one visually impaired person in the house, making this very user-friendly. And finally, I think what the previous reader was trying to explain is that when you request tags through the app, you are sent PDFs. There is one page of 64 small tags, two pages of 32 slightly bigger tags, and then some much larger ones. And when you run out of these, you can email them and get more, again, for free. Now, I hope this will give you a more positive view of NaviLens and the tags. Thanks. That's from Steve.
Thanks, Steve. I don't remember being particularly negative about it, although, you know, I'm not one to complain, guys, so, you know, it would be unlikely for me to do that. That would be ridiculous. But no, I get you. I think you're right. And if you're going through as many tags as that, with, I mean, I was using the PenFriend, and that's what I was talking about that week. You know, I do love the PenFriend, but I'm certainly not going through that many tags. So maybe that's, you know, where I'm not noticing the difference. But yeah, it is a great app. It really is. I think on the shopping front, when you're thinking about products in store, I think it's great if the products have it, but my fear is that only a few products will ever have this. And, you know, it'll be a case of you can buy Cocoa Pops or Corn Flakes, and that's it, right? Or at least that's what you'll be able to find in the store. Everything else will just be, as usual, unavailable to you visually. I think apps like Google Lookout might get closer to where we want to be, which is that it can identify a product in and of itself via the box. I mean, look at what the Echo Show has done with Show and Tell. You know, that is brilliant, where, you know, you just hold up an item to the device and it tells you what it is. Now, ideally, AI can get us to the point, and we go back to this point about the backpack and the vest and the thing. You know, all that's great, But truthfully, our phones are powerful enough. They could process the information, the images that's in front of it, and they should be able to just tell us what these products are off the bat. So
I would really like one of these solutions to include a Google image search, and I'm not sure if Lookout does. If it does, that's brilliant. I used to demo an app years ago called TapTapSee that, you know, you could point it at any... I used to bring up slides when I was demonstrating it to an audience on the screen of landmarks like the Eiffel Tower and Buckingham Palace and stuff like that, and it got it every time. And there was no text there or anything. It was just, you know, searching the internet and comparing. So that would add an extra layer of, you know, product packaging recognition, I think, because all of those images are going to be out there on the internet. So that would, you know, we need as many kind of AI strategies going for us as possible to just be able to tell us that, yes, that's what this is in my hands. And if the NaviLens QR codes have a better ability to be recognized regardless of where they are in the viewfinder, that's a massive bonus as well. Because with all these other apps, including the show and tell on the Echo, it does take some kind of maneuvering before it finally sees that code. So, yeah, anything that can help in that department, fab.
I think it is very much look, the limitations of QR codes that Steve brings up there, absolutely correct. But the thing is, QR codes have been adopted more into the mainstream than the NaviLens codes. And that's what it comes down to, you know? It's fine. I mean, absolutely valid points. And you're absolutely right when you're talking about labeling things around your home. But when you're talking about, you know, shopping and these codes being on packaging and on buses and things like that, then, you know, we got to live in the real world where, okay, has this been taken up? And the truth is that QR codes have been taken up more than the NaviLens codes.
So far.
Yeah, so far. That's not to say it's a terrible app and we shouldn't even bother with it. No, absolutely. It's great, especially for around the home. But are these NaviLens codes going to be taken up and used on products? I'm not entirely sure.
Well, it's funny because last night I showed my wife, she had never used a QR code before. She didn't really know much about them. And she was I'd got her something, a new product, which required a download of an app. And I said, you know, there's a QR code in here. And she said, all right, what do I do with that? And I said, well, you go into your phone and you just basically get it to scan the QR code. So I showed her how to do that. And she was amazed. She was like, she loved that the little image of the square just sort of grabs onto the code on the image that it sees. Yeah. And then it just opens up the app. And I said, and what's great about that is there are so many apps out there. You're making sure you're getting the right one. So, you know, it takes you right to it and, you know, you're in, and she's like, now what do I do? I said, you download the app. She's like, is that it? And she was amazed. So, yeah, I mean, it's so simple. And it, I think a lot of people tend to, interestingly, do down QR codes because they think they're harder to find. I've not really had that problem. Never really had a problem
using
not
the normal
being
camera.
Able to. Yeah.
Camera app.
Yeah.
Yeah, just using the iPhone's camera app.
Never had a problem grabbing them really at all.
But the NaviLens ones do work from a greater distance.
That's true.
Denying
that is true.
They do work better that way.
All right, Andy, what else do we have?
Well, starts Rebecca. I've gone from complaining about the loss of the headphone jack to embracing the Bluetooth headphone lifestyle. I love the Echo Buds for music, and I love the Beats Flex for the lack of latency on the iPhone. I finally mastered the Google Nest, though there is a learning curve. I got a Mac and a Google Nest for Christmas. The Mac is easier to learn than I thought, though I'm not ready to give up on Windows. I look forward to the day that I can run every iPhone app on the Mac. That's an email from Rebecca.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. I mean, I was kind of hoping we'd be there today with that one, running the iPhone apps on the Mac, especially with the M1, but still not quite there yet. Certainly a lot of the apps, and this really is down to developers. The developers have pulled a number of these apps away from the store, not allowing them for some reason. Maybe they just don't feel they're ready yet, or, you know, maybe they need to work on them. But clearly, you know, we're moving towards a universal app structure, not just on Apple, but also on Android or Google as well. I mean, we heard recently about Google Fuchsia, which is going to be apparently the new version of Android. It will replace Android down the line. And this will be a single infrastructure for anyone who's building an app. You just build the app once, and then it's available on tablet or on TV or on any Android or Fuchsia-based product. So that should make life more interesting. But no, and as for the headphones, yeah, I know. I'm finding that this lag problem we used to have, not so much of an issue anymore. I do still like a wired pair of headphones if I'm doing some serious work, because sometimes it can irritate me. And the way I've got it set up here, it's all wired up. But when I'm on the move, it doesn't really bother me as much as it used to. Guys?
No.
No, go on, Robin.
No, go on, Sean.
Oh, come on.
It depends how much typing you're doing. That's the only time I notice the lag is when I'm typing an email or something. Then it drives you crazy. But like you said, I recently got the Echo Buds myself and I haven't noticed a massive lag there, and it's fine.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you are out and about, then obviously they have transparency mode, you know, where you can hear the world around you, because these are in-ear ones. Anything that you jam into your ear canal can have, you know, great noise cancellation, but it can also make it difficult to hear what's going on around you. So you could turn on the pass-through mode. But the warning there is that I don't think it's stereo, is it? So, you know, if you're standing at the curb, you're not necessarily going to hear which direction the car's coming from. You'll hear it, but you
That's
won't.
That's a good point. No. Yeah.
And also, the pass-through does turn off whenever you get a call or anything, which I find annoying.
Is this the Echo Buds you're talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about the Echo
Buds. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Whereas the AirPods Pro use both microphones for transparency mode, so you will hear pretty much where things are coming from.
I mean, it's probably not recommended that you, if you're walking around... I mean, I know people like to do it. Some people do. When I could see better, I used to love walking around with my headphones on. I mean, not that I did much walking, of course. I mean, there's buses and taxis and trains, for goodness sake. What is this? What do we live in? The 1910s?
Lots of blind man wearing headphones walking around always freaks out sighted people.
So yes, there is that, yeah. Just bopping along to my music as I'm walking down the street, straight up all. I do like that, but I wouldn't encourage it. I will say that the AirPods Pro Max, which are just amazing, they are the sound of these things is amazing. I'd love to be able to walk down the street with these on, because the awareness mode, if you like, or the transparency mode is just incredible.
And they do stereo really well. In fact, they do surround
sound. Eight microphones in there, you'd think it'd be possible.
The pass-through, that transparency mode will give you really good directional information because of all those eight microphones.
But at the same token, then someone sees them and says, I fancy a pair of AirPods Pro Max, and then suddenly I don't have them anymore.
You're so paranoid, Stephen.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it. Okay, I could say something, but I won't. Actually, speaking of headphones... I have just ordered myself something. I asked Bose to send me these, and they said, Aftershocks. I asked Aftershocks to send me these, and they said they would get them to me. They never have. So I've decided to buy a pair to try them. The OpenCom headset. I'm hearing a lot of people talk about these, and I want to know how good they are, because I'll be honest, every time I've tried Aftershocks bone conduction headphones, which are probably the safest way to navigate with headphones on, because they don't go in your ear at all. They sit on, you know, just in front of your ear, really. And they use your cheekbones to send the audio back into your ears. I have tried these before. I've tried various versions of them and thought...
You're trying to be delicate here, Stephen.
Well, no,
I'm not really...
Look, I'm paying for these with my own money, right? So I can say what I like. I thought that the headphone part, or the earphone part, if you like, was fine. I actually thought the sound was pretty good. You couldn't have it too loud, otherwise your cheeks would vibrate, and that's not fun. I can tell you, cheeks vibrations, not fun. So, not a fan.
Fake news.
But what was worse than that was the call quality, because I remember calling Sean, as I do with pretty much everything I do. I call Sean to say, how does this sound? And if I, you know, I'll get an honest answer. And the answer was, I think you said, what? And I'm going,
it's awful.
It was terrible. The sound quality wasn't great off them. But the OpenCom headset has got a little boom arm on it. And I've heard a couple of people in Clubhouse who've been using it. Because I ask people when I'm in, you know, I'm very upfront. I'm like, what are you using there? And they say, oh, it's the OpenCom headset from Aftershocks. And I'm like, that doesn't sound terrible. So I thought, okay, I'm going to give these a try. So I'll let you know how they go. But I think this might be quite an interesting headset. It might be the first one with decent sound and also a decent microphone as well. And when you're out and about, you will look like you're Britney Spears about to head to a gig. But
if you ever look like Britney Spears...
Well, that's the only time I'll look anywhere close. It's the only bit. If you only look at my cheeks,
when you shake
even
your
then
head.
Okay.
Cheeks vibrating, yeah,
my vibrating cheeks. Hit me, baby, one more time. Ooh.
Speaking of headsets, I might have missed half of what you were just saying there because the doorbell went. I've got my Tempo.
New Bose frames.
Because I killed my other ones yesterday.
Always so, killing them. What do you do?
I know. This one, it was charging up and it's got like a magnetic attachment for charging, although I think these ones have got USB-C. And I literally just picked it up and thinking it would just disconnect, but the angle must have been wrong and it kind of wrenched the arm a tiny bit, like really tiny bit. And those other ones, they're brilliant in every way, but they built with the wrong plastic. The plastic doesn't flex at all.
That's the wrong plastic, yeah.
Yeah.
Wrong kind of plastic.
Like so, Oak, Robin.
Yeah, I don't know my
Robin
strength.
Smash.
I know, that's an everyday, you know, problem, my hand strength. I've got a new pair. I'll let people know next week.
So hang on, is that the sports ones?
Tempo, it's the new...
But they're kind of rounded.
I don't know, I haven't opened it yet.
Because I think, I'm trying to remember which ones were which, because there's different, I know there's like three new versions out. There was it Tenor, start with an S, same? Yeah. No, I can't remember. I'm
Tenor,
making
soprano.
Stuff up. Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah, I think that's right. And I think Tempo. Something like that. Yeah.
It said in the description that they were new nylon-based plastic or something, which sounds like it's more durable. So we'll see.
Okay. Well,
yeah, but I love them so much.
If it's the sports ones, I had to send them back because my head was too large for them.
Well, let's see if my head is too big.
It's the huge head problem again. It's, it always gets me every time. All right, let's get one more email.
Off the back of Stephen's microwave review, Nadia has another kitchen-related question. Hi, guys. Hope you're all well. I don't know whether this counts as a technology question or not, but I know the RNIB sells an electric talking hob. Currently, my electric induction hob is completely flat, so I can't feel the rings. My dad had the idea of sticking magnets on it so I could have something to feel my line to line up the pan with, but they kept falling off. I know the RNIB also does something you can attach to your hob to help line up your pan, but again, it keeps falling off, so how do you know where to stick it? Which is why I'm looking at the talking hob. I understand it has raised rings, so I'm assuming that that means that you can feel where the pan is meant to go. And that's fine as long as the hob is cold, but if you have to take the pan off to drain pasta, for example, and then you need to put it back on again, you can hardly put your hands on hot plates to feel where it needs to go. So how do you get around that? I understand, as I understand it, you get an announcement when the pan is in the right place. So does it need to be in the general area of the ring, or must it be exactly spot on? I appreciate you wouldn't know the answers yourself, but I wondered if someone from the TFL team would know and be willing to get some kind of demonstration on the show. That's from Nadia.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I've got the double talking induction hob, which is which does require, and it's the only reason I haven't been able to use it, actually, you just reminded me of this, because you need to have, or the pans that you use on it must have a magnetized base. Now, a magnet is included on it, so you can check the existing pans you have. But from my memory, it doesn't have to be exact, although as soon as you lift the pan off the hob, it will turn off immediately. So obviously it knows it's there. And it's also got a timer on it as well, so it can turn the hob off after a set period. And of course, there is it's all talking as well, so you know all the buttons you press, you'll get audio feedback on it. But yeah, we'll send this question over and maybe get more information on that from the TFL team for sure, Nadia. The price of the double hob, by the way, if you're wondering, is £140 for the talking double induction hob, £75 for a single induction hob. And of course, there is the pan pickle as well, which is the guide for induction hobs. So if you need a bit of a hand, there's silicone pickles, as they call them, which hold round objects like bowls and stuff in place on your desktop or your worktop. And they're also quite handy for induction hobs as well. So yeah, don't use them in gas or electric hobs, apparently, because that's not good.
Just but, melt. That yeah, sounds exactly, really
yeah.
good.
Yeah, yeah.
Good price too.
Okay, let's get one more email.
Hello, Tech Talkers. I hope you can provide some insight. for me. I recently got one of the new M1 powered MacBooks. It's taken me a while to get used to VoiceOver, but I think I got most things figured out now. However, having the laptop style keyboard means I don't have keys like home, end, page up and page down. I did some online searching and discovered that holding down the function key while pressing the various arrow keys is supposed to replicate some of these functions. However, no matter how much I try, these buttons simply don't seem to work in the way that they're supposed to. Do you have any hints as to how I can get these buttons to let me navigate quickly? Many thanks. That's from Gordon.
Robin, maybe you'll know more about this. I kind of know where Gordon's coming from here, but I think you might know the answer to this one.
Well, so he's got a MacBook, so obviously that computer knows what keyboard it is that it has. And I was going to say that, you know, maybe if it was an external keyboard, it wouldn't be recognizing, it wouldn't have recognized the right keyboard, because that can be tricky. When you set up a keyboard, you have to press the key to the right of the left shift key. That's what they ask you to do. And then it brings up visually on the screen what your keyboard is. And it says, is this your keyboard? But it's a MacBook. So you've got the FN key, which is the bottom left key, just in case he's pressing the wrong one. And then, yeah, left and right arrows should be home and end. Up and down arrows should be page up and page down. I have no idea at all why it's actually not working.
Yeah, as long as you're using the right key, as long as you're sure you're using that function key, that is definitely the way to do it.
You know, under settings, you can change how you can use the function key or function row. Would that have anything to do with it?
Can't imagine for the arrows, no. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You can change whether they're kind of their separate functions or whether you just want them to be F1 through 10, which is what I would do.
Okay. Let's leave it there because that's left us all on a ponder, Gordon, but we'll all be pouring into that one. Meanwhile, Robin is ripping into his new purchase. I'll be doing the same later when I get mine. I'm quite excited about these OpenCom headsets, so I'll be calling you all. Maybe I'll do the show on them that way next week. You can hear how wonderful it all sounds. Do you want to do
terrible.
That? Yeah, exactly. You're terrible. Anyway, thank you again, Sean Preece, for stepping into the breach as you did.
My pleasure. Yeah. And,
thank you, Sean.
Thank you. No, it was great to be back and get well soon, Tim.
And don't forget you can catch him and me on Double Tap Canada as well. You can get the podcast wherever you get good podcasts. And yes, Robin Christofferson, you can listen to him also on the Dot to Dot podcast, The Echo Show. He's quite literally all over the place, is our Robin. You can get him, of course, at AbilityNet as well. Thank you again, Robin.
Thank you. Thank you all.
And emails Andy. You need to get a podcast emails, Andy.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's in the works.
Yeah.
I'm missing out.
Get yourself a podcast. Emails Andy. Just sit and read the emails to yourself.
Andy.
That's right. But like Jack and Ori with emails. It's a beautiful idea. Yeah, that could work. Anyway, that's it, guys. Thank you once again. And remember, keep your feedback coming. Tech Talk at rnib.org.uk. We'll catch you next time.